Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the Mentoring Developers Podcast, episode 73. Let's go.
Welcome to Mentoring Developers, the podcast for new and aspiring software developers, where we discuss your struggles, anxieties, and career choices. And now, here's your host, Arsalan Ahmed.
Hi, everyone. Welcome once again to Mentoring Developers. This is a podcast for you. If you think that you need some guidance, or if you want to provide guidance to other people, if you are maybe a kid, or if you're a teenager, if you're a grown-up, if you're an old person, someone who thinks that they could benefit from either giving guidance or getting some guidance, this is the right podcast for you. So, welcome. Have you ever wondered what's the best age for you to start programming? Is it when you are 20 years old, maybe older, maybe when you're right out of high school or maybe right out of college? What if you are a kid, not even a teenager? Is that too young for you to start? My guests in this episode are kids that are not yet teenagers, kids that are not in high school, kids that are just kids. But they decided that they want to make software development and programming the focus of their future. So here's their story. This is a fascinating story of a child who decides to take up software development, programming, and then he tells the parent, and the parent helps him and encourages him. And then he encourages his siblings to do some software development as well, and they end up making a company, a nonprofit, that will make software for other people for money. And then they started writing books about it, encouraging other kids. It is an incredible story, and I am so excited to bring to you the story of the kids who could, the kids who dreamed big. And I wish all the kids are like this. Hi, everyone. Welcome again to Mentoring Developers. I have a very special set of guests today. They are young kids that started programming when they were very little kids, and now they are publishing multiple books on programming. So they have a consulting practice or some kind of business. Well, let's talk to them about what this is all about. It's super exciting. If you have little kids, and if you're a parent, or if you're a little kid yourself and you are in school and you're wondering how you could get started with programming, or if you could even do it, or if it's something that kids could do, today's episode is for you. Tell us a little bit, just give us a little cursory overview, and just tell us a little bit about why you started and how you got here.
Yeah, I began coding so I could help mom pay a bill. So I tried to make an app so I could accomplish this task, but I didn't know I had to be able to code to create an app. So my school, it was like there always look people. Then there was one time we met with a student, Philip. He told me, if you want to create an app, you've got to be able to learn how to code. So that started it all. So I told mom I want to code, but she didn't believe me. Okay, but then she started to buy books for me. Okay, and then it still wasn't enough. So once I looked for all the places for schools, but none of them had kids. Then she found one, Uncle Tech Town South. It was the first at code immersion camp, and that went in 8 weeks. So everyone was looking at us. Everyone was looking and going in the right direction. And
how old were you at that time?
Nine.
Nine years old. Okay, and everybody else was probably in their 20s.
Yeah, no. They're okay. Older now.
And so you were like, everybody's older, and everybody's like, what is this kid doing here? And then how did you feel about that? Was that hard for you?
No.
Okay, so you went in there. So tell me your first day in that code academy, in that code school, where you're the only kid and everybody else was a grown-up. Your first day, what did you do?
I answer most of the questions they had. And pooed me. And the mom was like, a quick bit to learn one. So that, and like, I was quickly, mom sat with me every class, every day, once a week. A camp happened one day per week. So every day, for 8 weeks, class.
Okay, so you started that, and then you did that for 8 weeks. And what did you learn in those 8 weeks?
Oh, I learned a lot. I code a lot of apps, mostly Ruby on Rails applications. And I built one without using scaffolds, like, I use it on a command line. I'm to make one kind of class or loop, like a quick way to make things easier for starting up a Rails app. Now, I made an app complete without using it.
Wow, that's amazing. You made it without using scaffolding. Scaffolding, for people who don't know, is a way to quickly create code, maybe start a skeleton of a program without having to start from scratch, having to like an empty canvas, and then you have to fill in all the pieces. So a lot of people use scaffolding. You're saying you didn't use scaffolding and you just wrote from scratch, basically an empty document, and you started with define this class and then define this and define that, and everything else you're able to do in Ruby on Rails, which is a web framework using Model View Controller, that design principle. And that is pretty advanced, because there are lots of things that you would never have heard about, but you were able to do it. Did you find it hard to do Ruby on Rails in 8 weeks?
Yes. I was making my own version of Twitter. I was trying to leave the whole project. Then I made a new, and we did it. And then, like, successful on the page on Bugsy's website.
Right. So you made your own version of Twitter. And Twitter, for people who don't know, is a website or an application that you can use to send small messages, and you can send it to the world, or people can subscribe to it, and certain people can listen to it. There's a publish subscribe model. It can be pretty complicated, so it's not an easy project, but it's a very interesting project. So you were able to do that. Did you have to get a lot of help from people? How did you get across issues? You didn't know how to do something, or you stuck, and maybe you had a bug, which means a bug is just a mistake, a defect, something that didn't work. How did you get around that?
I begin with trying to figure out where it was going on. Then try to debug it. That didn't work. Then I would consult someone to help.
Okay, well, how did you know how to debug?
First off, it's just some capitalization mistake or syntax thing. Error sometimes for a while. I'd easily find out how to fix it.
Did you read any book to understand how to do advanced things in Ruby on Rails while you were doing the 8 weeks? Did you have books to read, or were you just going there, listening to lectures, and just doing your projects?
Actually, all part of courses in the boot camp, and I did the project.
Okay. All right, so that's wonderful. And you were able to do certain projects in Ruby on Rails. Now you're learning about it. I'm wondering, because I have a kid who is 8, and she is a little interested in programming, but not that interested. And I know a lot of people, because I teach kids programming as well, sometimes in after-school programs and such. And very few kids have actual real interest in learning to program, in my experience. Maybe there are exceptional cases like you. So what happens is, in a class, they're bored. Even if the class is meant for kids and we try to keep it interesting, we try to make it friend, you know, like games and interactive, and it's not too boring, it's graphics and making games and this and that. That is still hard for younger kids. But you're 9 years old and you're sitting in with adults who are not really interested in games and stuff. They're basically trying to get a job. And so that's why they're learning it. They're not learning it because they just want to have a skill. They want to get a job. So they're very serious. And I'm assuming that the classes were probably not that fun, but you really stuck with it. You didn't give up. You weren't bored. You didn't like, I don't want to do this. This is boring. Why was it not boring for you?
Because it excited me to see the end product and finish off something I have to accomplish. Mm-hmm. I get this light.
Yeah, it feels great to be able to do something. That's wonderful, and you're able to do it. Are you a good student in general? Okay, you get like a straight A student?
Yes, often, pretty much.
Okay, so you get pretty good grades, so you're used to studying. So you study by yourself? Do you do homework by yourself? You don't need somebody to sit and make you do homework?
No.
So you're pretty independent. What I'm trying to understand is, why were you able to do it when so many other kids are not able to do it? You're independent. You like doing things yourself, first of all. Then you love to accomplish things. When you do homework, it feels great, right? You finished it. When you go next day to school, you can show your teacher, and the teacher is going to appreciate what you did. So it feels good, right? It feels good to be able to do it. It's similarly in programming. It's dry. It's not that interesting sometimes. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. But when you do it, you feel great because you had a problem and you solved it yourself. And sometimes you have help. That's okay. Everybody needs help sometimes. So that's wonderful. And then 8 weeks later, did you feel like, okay, now you're a programmer? Or were you still feeling like, I don't know if I can do this?
I was still trying to find more sources of program. So after the code margin, and we went on to JavaScript class. Yes. And then after that one, we had iOS class. Fortunately, on the last day, Mom had a headache and we couldn't go.
Well, okay, that happens. Mom had a headache, you couldn't go, but you're still able to go through another 8 weeks of JavaScript? Was it 8 weeks of JavaScript, was it?
Yes, it was JavaScript.
That's amazing.
It came before iOS.
And then after that, you did iOS. And you took all of them except for the last class where your mom was sick. That's amazing. Right. How was it hard for you? Like, that is a lot. Not most grown-ups don't know all these things.
It was very difficult, though.
Then why did you do it? It was so hard. You already knew Ruby on Rails. You already knew JavaScript. Why did you want to do iOS?
I just wanted to be able to show them I could make a difference. I had potential or do great 8 stuff.
Okay. And you wanted to show to whom? Your mother? Someone else?
Yes, most.
But you want to show your mom, look, I can do this. Your mom didn't believe you in the beginning, right? She didn't think that you're serious about programming. What happened when you were first told your mom you wanted to do programming?
When I told my mom I wanted to do programming?
When you said you wanted to go to a program, in the pre-interview with my producer, you said that your mom actually didn't really take you seriously at first. That she didn't know that you really wanted to do it, right? But then something happened, you got some books, there was some person that helped you, and you persisted and you kept asking, and then she finally found a place where you could go up, and you went to different places and they wouldn't let you in, but then this particular program took you in, right? So how was her reaction when you first talked to her about this?
At first she was like, hey, please, we don't have the time for this. But that, I did give up right there. I kept trying. If I want, I'm going to make an app. I'm going to email to believe me that I can do it. So that's why I first asked. And slowly but surely, she started to understand I was being serious about it. So she bought on it some books. Eventually, I made a game that 50 people across the world could play.
And you already made a game. Which programming language did you use to make that game?
Lua. L-U-A.
Lua. Hmm. How did you learn Lua?
Oh, it was simple. Like, I just scanned a code. I quickly understood what each did what function and would do what.
Wow. And how old were you at that time? 9? When you did the Lua program?
Yes, I was 9.
Wow. That is impressive. And you're like, I can do this, Mom. And look, I made this program so 50 people across the world can play this game simultaneously. It doesn't matter what it was. The point is that you proved yourself and you really wanted to do it. And that's really, really amazing because a lot of kids can learn from this and they can say, well, if Timothy can do it, then maybe I can do it. You know, it's fun. So tell me, what's so amazing about programming? Why do you like it so much?
I want to be able to make a difference to that kids are capable of doing.
Okay, you want to make a difference in the world. You want to prove that kids are capable of doing great things. So you think you can make a difference using programming? You can solve some problems using programming? Okay, yeah, because if there's a problem, then a lot of times software is the way to go, and software is everywhere, right? You're trying to help your mother with something. That's why you wanted to do programming. Were you able to do that? Were you able to make the app that you wanted to make for your mom? You did? Can you tell us a little bit about that app?
What app?
You said you wanted to do programming because you wanted to make something for your mother. That's how you started. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Were you able to make it finally, or... Sometimes that doesn't work, right? You started by saying, oh, I'm going to make an app for my mom to help her. But then, you know, you forgot. That's okay.
I'm still trying to achieve that goal.
Okay, so that's still a goal. That's wonderful. Because we have to achieve our goals one little thing at a time. You know, let me tell you a little bit about myself. When I wanted to be a programmer, I was a kid as well, and I wanted to do programming. I just wanted to make games, video games that I could play. That's what I wanted to do. And I never got to do it. I never got to actually realize that original dream, but then I discovered other things that I really wanted to do. So it's totally okay if you make a little goal and then later in life to realize maybe there's something even better, you can change your goals and you can pursue that. But it gives you a direction, right? You know where you can go. You're good at programming, you're good at software and computers and technology, and you'll discover great things as you go, and companies and other people are going to value that. Okay, so fast forward, you're doing programming, you're learning iOS development, you're learning JavaScript, you're learning Ruby on Rails, you've already done Lua. What happened after that?
I want to create a company for the app so that with the profits, I could bring it to my mom, also it could help her.
Yeah. Okay. So you figured that now you know how to make apps. Maybe you can make it for other people and other people who need these apps, and you can make it for them. They'll pay you money, and then you can help your mom because it's great. You're bringing in money. You were thinking about that. That's wonderful. And so you just started to start a company. And how did you start a company? You just registered a website, and then you made a pretty good website. I went to your website. It looks very nice, bugzero.codes. And you said, now I'm open for business. Anybody wants to make an app, like an iOS app, they can ask you. Is that right?
Actually, it got renamed.
Okay.
It was Bugzero. Mm-hmm. The website add .codes to the end of it because that was our URL.
Uh-huh.
So that's bugzero.code.
Okay. All right. So how did you find a customer? It's hard for people, like I can tell you myself, because I do consulting myself. And how do I get somebody to pay me to do anything? It's hard because you have to find the right people, then you have to convince them that you're the right person. So you were able to find somebody to pay you to do some work for them. Is that right?
No.
Yeah, you're still working on that?
No.
That's what you want to do, right? You want to... So if I wanted to hire somebody to do an app for me on iOS, could I hire you? Are you available for that?
I'm Danny, my dad.
Hi.
He actually made a non-profit. Bugzero is actually non-profit.
Okay, so what does it do? What does Bugzero do?
So we're pretty much a platform, and we want to spread around coding, teaching kids how to code.
Okay, so you're not making apps for other people. What you're doing is... you want to inspire other children to learn programming because programming is a good skill, not necessarily to make money. Children are not really working in jobs and making money. What we're saying is programming is a fundamental skill, just like math. People do math. They can also do programming. It's one other thing. It's very useful. So can you tell me why you think kids should learn programming?
Well, we believe that teaching kids programming, because coding is the future. And everything around us is coding. It has coding pretty much in it. And every profession, we believe, uses some sort of coding or technology. And if kids learn how to code or learn how to use technology that will really influence and change jobs and maybe change the future.
Okay. Programming is a very important skill, and programming will give you the tools that you can get jobs. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good. And also, programming has the other benefit that it expands your mind. It makes you smarter because it makes you think in different ways, and your brain has these neurons. They make certain connections, and you actually become smarter by learning a programming. You also become smarter by learning anything new, like a new language. If you wanted to learn French or Arabic or Chinese or any kind of a different language from your native language, then you'll build those connections in your brain and you'll become smarter. That's just what it is. So as a kid, if you know several languages, you will be able to exercise more of your brain. Similarly, if you know programming, that will just make you smarter and will let your brain expand a little bit. So I think I agree with that. I think this is pretty useful. Now, what happened after that? So at some point in time, you guys got involved. Like you got your brothers involved in this programming thing. How did that happen?
So I first worked together to on apps like things that stopped. So that was how we started Code. Like here is the quality assurance person. Daniel is the project management who thinks up the of the applications we make, and I'm the one who made the app. And Gina's the last to make sure that there's no errors or bugs. If there is, I'm responsible to fix.
Okay. So you have divided the labor. You do the programming. Eugene does the QA or testing to make sure it works. Daniel is the one who manages the project as a project manager. So make sure that everything is done properly. Is that kind of how you divide it? Okay. So why did they decide that they wanted to do those jobs, and why did they not do programming? Because they're not programming. They're part of your software development enterprise, right? In software development, it's not just programming. It's not just coding. There are lots of different roles. And there's a role for somebody who's going to make sure that what you're building is what the customer needs or the world needs. And there's somebody that needs to make sure that what's being built is proper. So there is a tester role and there is a coder role. A lot of times a programmer wears all these hats, and in small organizations they do all of it. But why did you decide to divide the work into these different hats? So one person is doing one thing and the other person is doing the other thing. Why did you do that?
Because I knew it'd be too much hassle for one person doing all the work, like think up the project, make the project, look for bugs, or it all be too much for one person. So I chose my split to three parts.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your company. Bug Zero, is that a registered company? Did you register as a company?
We're still trying to work on that.
Okay. You can still, that's totally fine. You can get an LLC. But obviously you need to have a grown up do that. I don't know if as a child if you could do it. But a limited liability company is just simply very easy to do. Just fill out a form and you'll have a company if you really wanted to, but you don't have to. You could just be yourself. You can be a proprietor, a sole proprietor, and you can just, you know, have a website, and that's totally fine too. It matters if you are going to collect money. If you're doing projects for money, and if you're doing projects for other people who are going to use it, then it's a good idea to create a company. And we can talk about if you want to know how to do that, I can talk to you about this. But that's pretty good. And then what happened is that this has only been going on for 2 years. And in the meantime, you learn all these different languages. And then you are, and all of the kids together are writing in the process of publishing 9 different books about programming. Is that right?
Yes.
9 different books. Okay. So that is incredible, because writing a book is not a small feat, right? You need to have authority. You need to know what you're saying. You need to be able to say it. Then you need someone to publish it. And there's lots of things involved. So do you think that's kind of what you want to do? You just want to write a lot of books. And that's kind of your business model, because when you sell the books, then you can bring in some revenue, like you said, to help your mom and so on. Just make some money for the company. Is that kind of what you're thinking? Just write a lot of books and that's your source of revenue?
No.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about these books. What is the first book that you decided to write?
Oh, short book about everyone can call clone kids.
Say that again. What's the name of that book?
Kids.
Ah, everyone can code, including kids. Okay, and that's a picture book. And how old would be the kids that you think would be should read this book?
Ages 7 to 11.
7 to 11. Okay, a picture book, 7 to 11. And just letting people know that anybody can code. Okay, and why did you think about writing that book?
I want to show that everyone, no matter what their age is, can code.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about this. What's in that book?
Police officer, firefighter, teacher, nurse, chef, performer, things like that.
And so you designed the artwork. Did you do your own artwork or did you have somebody do it?
No, someone else did.
So, and you hired somebody to do the artwork? Was that a friend?
It was the person who helped design the Bug Zero page.
So there's somebody that designed the Bug Zero page, which is a website that you made using WordPress. And that designer also helped do the artwork for your book. That's wonderful. And so that's a book that you're still writing, or did you already write it?
We already wrote it.
Okay, so it's already finished. And now, but it's not published yet. Is that right?
I know it is published.
It is published. No. Not yet published. So if I wanted to buy that book, what do I have to do?
Excuse me, what'd you say?
If I wanted to get that book, or if anybody who's listening to this podcast right now, how would they get this book? Will they have to wait until you're published?
Right now, they have to wait till.
Okay. Are you self-publishing it? You publishing it yourself, or do you have a publisher?
We have a publisher.
You have a publisher, and it's in the process of publishing. Okay, and my producer who did the pre-interview, she said that you have some kind of agreement in different countries. So tell me, where would this be published? In which countries?
Well, we want this book to be published in places like Haiti. First, it'll be published here in America. And then we want to spread it out to places like Haiti, Ghana, libraries, just mostly third world countries, because you want to improve those lives there.
Liberia.
Okay. Places like those.
Okay. So countries in Africa and certain other countries that are third world countries where there's a lot of poverty and people are struggling. You think that if the kids over there learn programming, then it would give them the tools to maybe get some jobs or make some money making apps or websites for other people. And I think that's sort of the social thing that you want to do. You want to help those people have the means to support themselves. Yeah? And so you also want to publish it in America. Well, that's a big task. Well, I wish you good luck. And when it is published, you have to come back on the show and tell us about it so that we learn a little bit more about the book, and then our audience can go maybe perhaps and go pick up a copy. So that's wonderful. So we'll talk about this when you publish this book. So then you decided to write other books. So what was the second book?
So the second book was my book. It's called Learn the Terms and Teenage Edition, where teenagers learn different terms in coding. So when they begin coding, they're not asking questions like, I don't understand this, or how do you do this? What does that mean? They already have a guide.
Wow, never thought about a book like that, but I think that could be really useful, especially for people who are maybe feeling a little bit shy. I don't know, I don't want to ask a dumb question.
Exactly.
So you want to help those people. And I think adults could probably use that book too. So I think that's pretty useful. Because a lot of people, whoever's starting out, they don't have any background. How would they know? So give me some examples of those terms that you explain in that book.
well, we define, like what we said earlier, what a bug is, a defect or a problem in the code that stops it from doing what it's supposed to do. We define what functions are, like how your code, different functions and what they do. We also define like scaffolding, like you said, the skeleton pretty much, or what do you call it? Preview, kind of preset to a code or something. And just stuff like that, like a terminal, different things like that.
Okay. So you didn't go to code school, any code academy, did you yourself?
I had a website resources and I had some.
How did you learn all these terms? Did Timothy tell you?
Yeah, some of them he told me. He has a coding mentor that comes to our house and they teach and work on coding. So I'm there and I listen to like what they're doing and I learn some of the things that they're doing.
So let's talk about this mentor. So Timothy, you have a mentor that comes to your house every week, once a week?
Hey, once a Saturday.
On Saturday. And spends maybe 1 hour with you?
Yes.
Okay. So why did you want to have a mentor?
Like to help me.
Okay. And was it your idea or was it your mom's idea? Okay. Your mom said, well, you need somebody to help you. This is perfect. Because mom had some background in programming too, because she did computer science back in Nigeria. So she, is that Nigeria, right? Did I get that right? Okay. So
yes, she got that right.
Yeah. And you already did your computer science and math. So you know a little bit of programming and you were able to guide him. That's perfect. But even if you didn't, you know that having a mentor, right? This podcast is about mentorship mainly.
Yeah.
We need mentors. We need people to help. We can help each other, especially people who have been doing this for a while. And we can make it easy for the new people. So that's wonderful. And you said, well, if you had a mentor, that would be good. You could ask questions. What does the mentor do? Like, do you have a curriculum that you follow or is just ask any question?
They actually meet on Saturdays and they get to do fun projects. He takes them through different exercises and he's been able to get his brothers on speed on their coding adventure.
Okay. And is there any particular programming language or thing that they do is like making websites or just whatever the kids want to do?
They have right now bug0.codes is bringing kids to tech. That's what they say they are doing, bringing kids into technology. So they work on their curriculum, which they use for their workshop. They have workshop once every month where they teach kids how to code. So the boys prepare for that and he kind of looks at what they are doing and, okay, do we do this? I think we should go this way. What do you think we should do? They get to talk about it.
Okay, how did you find that mentor? That's the hardest thing. Because if I wanted to find a mentor for my child, I think I would have a very hard time. So how did you find one?
He actually taught Timothy in his technology school. He was a student. And recently, a man named Mr. Royce, he reached out to Timothy too on LinkedIn. He wants to teach him AI. So they actually started off today learning AI.
So now you have two mentors.
Yes.
And are you paying them or is that pro bono?
One is pro bono and the other one is just a little token. It's nothing much. The whole idea is that they want to teach him. They want him to learn. You know, like they always say, it's exciting, you know, to get him on speed. They can't still believe that he's able to do the things that he does.
Yeah, I can't believe it either. It's very it's quite incredible because most children, they want to do other things. They just want to watch TV or maybe play with their toys. But your child wants to create things, make things. And you must be a very proud mother.
Am I proud? No, I'm thankful.
Okay.
He reads a lot. He reads a lot of books.
Okay.
In plenty. I mean, in a week, he could read as much as 20 books in a week. I'm telling you, in 7 days. Oh. He sleeps with books under his pillow. He wakes up in the morning and the first thing he does is to grab a book.
That's wonderful. What kind of books do you like to read, Timothy?
I don't know. Like, mostly, like chapter books, sci-fi fiction.
Okay, not programming books. These are fun books.
These do have programming books. I've already read them all.
He's read them all.
You've read all the programming books?
Yes.
The jQuery book, the sequel, he's read them all. Oh.
Okay. And what do? Do you just read them like a novel? Like you just turning pages and reading code? Or do you say, okay, well, let me type it in and see if it works, and then you, but that takes a long time. What do you do?
So like usually just us do the pages for the pages. It's like looking at the examples. Then they often have the result of like I looked out per code or Sultan.
Well, I think that you're a very special child, and we need to explore a little bit more about all the wonderful things that you know and you're doing. We need to learn a little bit more about bugzero.code, your project, your website. What's going on there? Your mentorship. What's going on there? This episode has been wonderful. It's late where you are and where I am, and I know you have school tomorrow, so I don't want to keep you today for very long. Would you like to come back and talk a little bit more about all the other things you guys are doing?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we'd love to have you. And thank you, Mom, for letting us talk to your kids. Do you have to your mom? I just want to ask if she has any message for parents who have children and who'd like their kids to maybe learn a little bit of programming, at least try a dabble in it. Is there any advice you can give them?
Every kid can code if we give them the chance. Sometimes we just don't believe they can do it. I didn't believe Timothy could do it. I didn't even believe his brothers could come side. But they are doing it. If we just give them a chance,
anybody, I think they would do it. I think that's a good message.
Everyone, not anybody. It's collectively. Everyone can code, including kids.
Including kids. And adults, if they wanted to.
Yes, if they want to. Okay. The whole idea, we need to take there's this fear attached to coding, attached to programming. People don't even wait until they get into it. Once they see, no, I can't do this. No, I know my child can do this. And some people think, oh, the kids who do it are special. No, that's why they are taking their messages to schools, libraries, and the community to say everyone can code. Every child can.
Wonderful. You're taking your message. You're basically talking to as many kids as possible, going to libraries, and is getting ready for his first speaking engagement. Is that right?
Oh, no, he's already done several last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's done several last year. And this year, the year is just beginning. Okay. So we're going to be signing up some.
So what kind of speaking engagements has he done so far?
He's gone to different schools in the community.
Okay.
He's gone to coding clubs in the community, and he's gone to the libraries in the community. And he's gone to meetup events to talk to adults how they can increase the tech community, because we need more people in technology. We need to bring in more people on board.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every profession is waiting on the tech community. So we need to grow the tech community. So he reaches out to them too to tell them, you can get somebody on board. You can mentor somebody. You can pull somebody. You can encourage somebody. You can spark curiosity in other people. And let's not just keep our knowledge and our skills to ourselves. We need to pass it on. Pass it on to the next person. Pass it on to your child. Pass it on to your neighbor. Pass it on to a friend's friend, if only we could just make our time.
That's a wonderful message. Yeah, let's not hoard our knowledge. Let's spread it, especially when it comes to something that is so exciting and so amazing that even children are excited and children are able to do amazing things with it. They feel accomplished and they feel great. They become smarter. And then when they grow up, this is a good career for them if they wanted to. You don't have to become a professional software developer, but you could. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. There was a speaking engagement he went for, and there were about 300 developers. And when he asked the question, is anyone here teaching a kid how to code? None. I said, whoa, really?
Mm-hmm.
No. And he said, anyone? No. Anyone? No. He said, no. And then he came up with the acronym, Mr. Ted, mentor a kid. Replicate your problem-solving skill. T, teach a kid how to code. E, encourage a kid. D, do it with all your heart. If we do that, we'll grow the tech community.
I think that's a wonderful message. So, Timothy, is there anything else you would like to say before we say goodnight for now?
Not necessarily.
Okay, your mom said it for both of you. Very articulate. I'm very, very glad to have finally met you guys. And I think we'd love to have you back. We'd love to have learn a little bit more about all of your kids and all the things that you like to do. And let's hope that we can keep this conversation going. And let's hope that anybody who's listening to this right now is encouraged and they get excited and maybe they follow in your footsteps. And maybe they can pick up one of your books to get that inspiration. All right. When you publish it, you have to come back so we can share it with the world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, kids. So everybody, I'm saying goodbye right now, but we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, folks. It's really good to know that you made it to the end of this episode. Did you enjoy listening to it? Did you have any questions that you wanted to ask or maybe some suggestions? Fire me an email at us@mentoringdevelopers.com and I'll see to it that it gets responded. Also, go ahead and sign up for the email list if you have not done that already. Go to mentoringdevelopers.com and you'll be able to sign up for email list. And once you do, I'll send you my 5 steps to success as a software developer. And also send you information about salary negotiations and how to get better salaries. And you can ask me any questions you want over there, and I'll be able to answer it through email personally. Once again, thanks for listening and stay in touch.
For show notes and transcripts, visit us at mentoringdevelopers.com.